mentioned in the book of Joshua, and we have considered the book of Joshua, chapter 6, and we are talking about four areas. We considered three, and so today we close with the fourth. But let's remind you what we have covered in chapter 6 for Joshua. We have mentioned how they crossed the ark, Jordan with the ark. And out through the ark they passed the Jordan, and that river represents people, rivers and seas always represent people. Walls like the Jericho walls always represent demonic entities that come against the people of God, and we need to take authority in the spirit realm. So in Joshua chapter 6 in verse 12 and 13. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpet. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it was so, when the priest blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord for destruction, the destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because we hear the messengers that we send." As Joshua confronted the walls of Jericho, which represent demonic entities, the walls always represent the work of the enemy. Like for example in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, how the devil will build strongholds. The word strongholds refer to the work of the enemy on our mind. For 6 days, nothing happened except on Joshua's side. But on the seventh day, they went around 7 times. And that was when, towards the end of the seventh day, God gave them the victory. One of the things that we must understand about facing demonic entities is that we must be able to stand. When we are fighting the enemy, we must make sure that we are doing the right thing. You may not get results on the first day, nor on the second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. You're doing exactly what God told you, but you don't seem to see the results yet. Paul knew about this kind of situation, and that is why in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, and we are looking at verse 14. Stand therefore, he says, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It says, stand. When you face the enemy, stand. What does it imply by standing? Because God wants us to overcome the enemy through faith, not through the works of our hands. Joshua did not overcome Jericho with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood could not bring down those walls. If you look very carefully in the natural, there was nothing and no way that they can come against the wall. They had to totally depend on God. As they marched around every day, nothing happened. Those who don't understand the method that he was using may be discouraged. Because as they look, nothing happened. It was hard work. It was a long journey to walk around every day. Many times we want to change circumstances, or we want to change jobs, or we want to change something when things are difficult. But God never wants us to leave any place in between. Whenever you leave a place and you go because it's difficult, you're living in between. You never leave when it's difficult. It is never time to leave when it's difficult. It's only time to leave when it may be easy. You can get complacent. There's nothing else to do. You completed everything. That's when God will move you on. But not when the battle is fierce, the fires are hot, the enemy is close, the nostrils are breathing over you. Nothing seems to be moving. All you have is to stand. Standing continually against the enemy. Now we are touched on that area of how he stood, how he did exactly what commanded and overcame the enemy, but there were some sub-principles that are involved here that we want to take heed, take note of. The first is in the area of verse 7. Let's look at verse 7. Proceed and march around the city. Let him who is armed at once before the ark of the Lord. Now this is different from the Jordan. In the Jordan, the ark was in front of the soldiers. Here the soldiers were in front of the ark. They were marching in front of the ark. And then after that, the priest coming behind him, coming behind them. And verse 8, so it was, and Joshua had spoken to the people, that seven priests bearing a seven trumpet, the ram come before the Lord, and one of them blew the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priest continued blowing the trumpet. So the order of marching was slightly changed. Why was that so? God was preparing them in faith. They had to be fully armed even though there was no battle. Fully prepared. And they continually marched with it. Those swords that God has given them, going round and round by faith, standing. Six always represent the number of men. Six is also the number of sins. 6 days, 6 times. They're talking about overcoming sins in our life. The 6 days were separate from the 7 days. God separated them. 6 days, once each day. 7 days, 7 times. He separated the two. In time, God was saying that unless you overcome sin, you cannot overcome the walls of Jericho. Unless you overcome the things that are in your life, the things that make you a human being as you are, the works of the flesh, you cannot overcome the enemy. Before Jesus could overcome Satan, he has to overcome him. So every temptation for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Before Jesus confronted all the works of the enemy, when he went about doing good and healing the sick and destroying the works of the enemy, he had to overcome a personal battle. Unless we overcome sin in our life, we are not ready for the walls of Jericho. Number 6 represents sin. That represents areas in our life that we have to slowly overcome. And there are so many areas. So many areas in our life that we have to dedicate to God and have success. But that area is what I call private success. What the world wants and what most people want is public success. To succeed in what they do. In all the enterprise that they enter into. But before you have public success, you must have private success. Private success is not what people can see. Only God can see how you said no to many temptations. When no other eyes look at you but God's eyes, when it seems that there's nobody who knows what you're doing behind, but there are many times when you say, no, I will not go after all these things. When you say, no, I will not compromise in this area. You say no to the flesh, you say no to sin, you say no to the world, and nobody in the world knows about it. Nobody but you. For 6 days, I say no to the worst way. Remember, there is no fruit yet for the 6 days. Jesus apparently did not see the result of conquest for the 40 days and 40 nights. It was after the 40 days and 40 nights. Do not look for fruit when a battle is still going on. Every success that you have in your private life will be measured and reflected in your public life. See, there are some things that God values more than us, and that we must learn to value them as God values them. Things like, for example, the formation of our character, formation of our life. Things that people in the world may not value. When you choose to tell the truth instead of telling a lie. When you choose to say no while the world is saying yes. When the world doesn't value, that you value because of all these areas. You're building your character in God. And you're having private success. During those times, they were not supposed to say anything. This doctor said, in there's a second point here, in verse 10. You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. Now in verse 10, it is like saying, you shall not say anything to anybody. You will overcome alone. There are certain battles that you have to face alone. Now the spiritual war you face together with your brethren. But there are certain battles that you face alone. Nobody else can help you except the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not supposed to help you. They're supposed to fight it out. There will be certain battles when you look around and there's nobody. You say, God, why nobody? God says, I designed it so that you will face it alone. Because all the time you're always facing with other people. You always have others help you to overcome. But there comes a day and a time God says, I want some more for you. I want to bring you into a deeper dimension. Before that, you have to face this and overcome it. So brother, what happens if I fail? Retention class. You could run away from that situation. God will arrange the same kind of task, different people involved, different actors, different scenery, but same kind of task. And you are still the same star in the drama. God will give you the same challenges in the second round. What happens if you run away ahead? Third drama. Start again. What happens if you keep doing it? Wilderness experience. Round and round. And God will never let you go until you overcome that. Some never overcome it. We must overcome. Private things in your life, bad habits, secret things in your life that nobody sees but God. It is those areas that are preventing your success in financial prosperity. Nothing else but that. You cannot blame anybody else. It's those areas that God looks for, very important. Now, we are talking about financial prosperity, so we are gearing the truth towards that. Please look at the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Verse 4. That your charitable deed may be in secret. Well, let's read verse 3 too. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, in some modern translation, the word secret and opening are removed. Time to change the Bible. If it's not there. Say, the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He repeats that again in verse 18. So that you do not appear to man to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. One part of the truth is that what you do, God will bless. But the other part is doing it privately and secretly. Joshua says, you shall not shout. You shall not make a noise. But you shall silently, faithfully, perseveringly, patiently march around. Just quietly marching. It was a very silent march. Can you imagine a whole troop of people marching quietly? Just marching quietly. Making no sound. Quiet. That is one of the hardest things for human beings to do. Behind it is completely dying to self. Silence. Human beings do not learn to die silently. Especially those who do not know God. Talking about type of taking the cross. Here Joshua chapter 6, when he's talking about the silence, do not shout. If you look at the word silence in the whole Bible and you study it, in the book of Psalms, it's all about silence. Silence has to do with areas of death, areas of self-denial, areas of suffering. They're all tied together. Now there's an area of poverty, silence, where he says, be still and know that I'm God. Now that stillness looks
awesome. But behind it is, do you feel and know that I'm God? He's saying, die to yourself, then you know that I'm God. Let everything that is in you, all those things that are in your life, in your flesh life, they want to try, they want to do this, they want to do that, they want to do this. God to yourself. Let them die. Be quiet, that's it. Let God be God, and let His creation be His creation. There's an essence of that. You study the word silence in the Bible, and you notice that definitely it talks about dying to self. Silence is not complete. In other words, God doesn't leave you there. He always talks about let everyone who has breath praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. He always says that those who have breath praise the Lord. And he talks about silence. It's not for you to remain in the silence. When he says, be still and know that I am God, those words are spoken because there's so much things coming out of you, like a raging sea in your soul. God says, be still and know that I am God. God says, thou shalt not shout, thou shalt not make a sound. Silence for 6 days. So that you will completely die yourself. What do you do in secret? Think about doing things in secret. Not bad things, good things. Now there's something changing. Many people, when they fall into sin or when they do the wrong things and unrighteous acts, they do it secretly. Why? Because they are afraid other people will find out what they do wrong. Now it's the total opposite. When you're doing the right thing, you're doing the correct thing, you're doing the good thing, you're doing it secretly. So that God will get all the glory, so that you will die to self, and you're just doing it secretly. In season and out of season, standing, and standing for 6 days. Secretly, without anybody knowing, without anybody observing, only God. Why you're doing it unto the Lord. Most people, when they do something, they also want attention. They're serving God at the same time, we want some attention. We have not died to self yet. When we have died completely to self, even if you're treated as a doormat, so what? Even if you are stepped upon, so what? You continue to stay suffering, doesn't it? Remember what God said. There is a reward. And notice God says, when I reward, He will be open. He will reward openly. When your blessings come, it will be openly given to you. In proportion to the secretness of your walk with God, according to that proportion will be the openness of God's blessing in your life. As you privately conquer, so God publicly honors you. As Joseph privately conquered, he was publicly honored after several years in prison. Nobody knew except him that he was there because of his righteousness. If he had fallen into sin with Potiphar's wife, he would have still been in Potiphar's house, sinning. He slayed his sinner. Secret sin. Potiphar's wife said, nobody is here. Say, no, God is here. Just because of his righteousness, thrown in prison. Looks like evil triumph over good. But no, it's good that we triumph over evil. Second, it takes time. And when God honored Joseph, I remember what they said, when you have sowed and there's no harvest yet, and you have sowed and there's no harvest yet, and you have sowed and there's no harvest yet, that's what's happening. Secret. But when finally the harvest comes, everything that he has sowed suddenly comes down and is multiplied. And God honored him in one day. He was the prime minister over Egypt. In one day, he had all the authority he needed. In one day, he had new robes and a new position. And then one day, he was a right-hand man of Pharaoh. It only took one day. And it took one day to bring down the walls of Jericho. But it took, don't forget, 6 days of preparation and faith. It took one day to bring down the wall, but 6 days of preparation. It will take only a short time for every one of us to finish what God has for you to do. But it's going to take some time to prepare you to do that work. It's going to be very fast and very easy when you're fully ready. Jesus took 3 years to finish everything he needed to do. But 30 years, he was preparing. 30 years of preparation. When 3 years, he finished it. 10 is to 1. Remember the proportion, there's a preparation, there's more time taken. You don't need a long time to do the work of God. You only need to be prepared. The short time, it will all be finished. Now, the other area that we want to see, the last one, in Joshua, in the Joshua generation, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 11 to 15. Joshua and the Jordan symbolizes facing people. Joshua and the Jericho wall represent facing demonic power. Now Joshua and the battle, Joshua and the sun. Verse 11. Now it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven to them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those from the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Son, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still and the moon stopped. See, the people have revenge upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher, "So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And then there has been no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him in a camp of Gilgal. Now we're talking about the Joshua generation and what we're going to face in this end time as we prepare ourselves. Stopping the sun represents circumstances. Jordan represents people. Jericho represents demonic entities. But stopping the sun represents circumstances. The Joshua generation will face a set of circumstances like no other set of circumstances have been faced before. It will be like in the decade of the 90s. There will be some special circumstances that will face the body of Christ that we have never faced before. And here, as Joshua was already doing well, he was doing good, the battle was on his side, They were succeeding in what God told them to do. And as they were coming against the enemy, there was an inspiration that came upon him that led him to talk to the Son. Jesus talked to three. Joshua talked to the Son. Behind it is a prophetic type of when we realize that in the times that we live in, there will be a need to take authority over circumstances. Proclamation of the power of the spoken word will be so powerful in the time of the Joshua generation. Not only what you say is what you get, but it is what you say is what is. But the body of Christ is learning to reach that point. Slowly we are coming into the area where we realize what we say is what we get. No, that is only elementary. If you move further into the realm of God, what you say is, it's sealed upon the world. But right now the body of Christ is moving into perfection. The day will come when the body of Christ will reach such a point of perfection that God will honor the words of the body of Christ like He honored the word of the Son of God who walked on the shores of Galilee. Where every word that the body of Christ speaks is going to dramatically affect circumstances. Now we have to live to a certain closeness with God to be able to do that. It's not just what any Tom, Dick or Harry feels like doing. Once you know that you feel, hey, you know, I think I would like to do that. And you say, "Son, stop!" And the Son keep moving. Make a fool out of yourself. Moon, stop! And the moon blinks. Nothing happens. It's not just doing it just when you feel it. But it's reaching a point of closeness with God. The body of Christ reached a point of closeness with God. And out of their mouth comes such authority like Elijah did. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 1, Elijah was not even commanding. He was just asking a question. If you notice the book of 2 Kings chapter 1, Elijah was just sitting on the top of the hill. I think he must have been praying, spending time with God. As he was sitting on the top of the hill, there was this general sent by Ahab. And they said, "Men of God, come down." And the men of God said, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down and consume you." That was it. All the soldiers still standing there, but now charcoal. Second batch came. "Men of God, come down." Men of God still sitting up there. His devotional time was being interrupted. So he says, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down and consume you." Poor King Ahab was waiting. He had sent two battalions. And he waited until the appointed time and said, "Hey, there's something wrong here. They are not coming back." He didn't know they will never come back. Sends the third one. When the third commander of the battalion came and he saw the pieces of charcoal all over him, and he looked at my friend, and all around there was this black smoke, still probably all over this place. Looks up, and there was this man of God during his emotional time. He told all his soldiers to wait down there, climb up on his knees, and say, "Man of God, please spare my life. Please spare my life. The king asked me to come, but spare my life." It's a different realm. Now that doesn't mean that some of us are going to run around calling fire down on people. That's not what it means. But we will live in such authority, such a realm of authority, that what you say, even without necessarily a command, becomes powerful. Very powerful. It says in the book of Joshua, if you look carefully who initiates it, book of Joshua chapter 10, verse 14. Who listened to who? You look carefully. It says, "The Lord heeded the voice of a man." It says Joshua. Joshua said something that the Lord agreed to do. "The Lord heeded the voice of a man." But it was no ordinary man as he was doing all those things. How do we reach that state? Secret is found in chapter 10 itself. Number one, you must be in God's will. You must already be in the flow. See, they were already in the flow of God's will. They were fighting. They were overcoming. You must be in God's will. That's number one. If you're out of God's will or even in the permissive will, don't try. It will just be empty air coming out. They were doing God's perfect will. You know that you're in God's perfect will. You're conscious of the perfection of God's will. Not just 5% or 50%. Not even 90%. You're 100% and you know you're in God's perfect will. 100%. 100%. Catching Truman when he stood to minister as an evangelist in the auditorium, he always stand up and say, "She knows she's in God's perfect will." How did she know? Because she knew when she was not in his perfect will. And she left all to go in the God's perfect will. You must know that you are in God's perfect will. A consciousness must be there. You know you have been 100% obedient. Not even 99%. 99% you cannot even stop the sun. 100% doing God's will. The assurance, the knowledge, knowing that you're doing it exactly. Number two, you must be an overcomer. Do you notice that he only stopped the sun when you are winning, not when you are losing? You know why many Christians are not stopping the sun? They are losers. This is not a truth for losers. The truth for losers are other places in the Bible. Joshua 1 verse 8. Start there. "And you shall make your way a good success." But start there. Here Joshua was not losing. He was winning. As you are winning, as you are overcoming, Joshua was already chasing the enemy. They were running like cockroaches. It says here in the book of Joshua 10 that in verse 10 there was a great slaughter. And it says Joshua chased them along the road that goes to Beth-horon. So they were actually running against the enemy. They were running after the enemy. The enemy was running. My friend, stopping the sun doesn't belong to you when the enemy is coming against you and you're saying, "Oh, mighty fortress is our God." Keep on singing, no problem. But you cannot say, "Sun, stop." No. Stopping the sun is not when you are in a fortress. Stopping the sun is when you're chasing the enemy. You're almost wiping them out. Why stop the sun? Because you don't want to just chase the enemy. You don't want to just destroy the enemy. You want to annihilate them. And there is no sign on the devil. For that, God will most graciously give you the pleasure of annihilating the devil. He doesn't want a sign of him around. Annihilate him from your country. Annihilate him from the nation. Why? Because God hates the devil. See, you must understand why God allowed that sun to be stopped. This is a symbolic act also that is recorded in the Bible. God doesn't even want 0.00001% of the devil to continue.
He does not want one tiny atom showing around. And that was how Joshua tapped into the heart of God. He was in such a communion with God that when he said, "Sun, stop," his purpose was to completely finish off the enemy. That's his main purpose. Not that he need more time to prepare. Many people want to stop the sun to have more time to prepare. That's not for stopping the sun. Say, "I need more time, Lord. Please, Lord, I need more time. Lord, stop the sun. Sun, stop." Sun didn't stop. "Then moon, stop." No, moon will not stop. "Start." "Sorry, we are not involved." "Oh God, I need more time." God is not going to give more time to prepare by stopping the sun. Stopping the sun is for the overcomers. Stopping the sun is for giving the final touches to wipe out the enemy. In time today, as we bring it to the 20th century, in this final decade of the 20th century, it is as you're doing God's perfect will, number one. As you're succeeding in doing God's perfect will, as you're going out and harvesting, as you're going out and bringing in the harvest, as you're going out and pushing out and wiping out the enemy entirely, and then the sun is going down on you, there's not enough time to completely finish that. If you wanted to, you have to stop what you're doing, rest for the night, and the next day continue. But it's too exciting now. You're on the pathway of Beth-horon. The enemy is running. If you stop for the night, the enemy will run too far for you to wipe him out. So since you're already on the heels of the enemy, so near, so close to wipe out the last trace of the enemy, Son, stop!
And God will listen to you. That's the second point that we need to note. The enemy was being chased. Third reason in Joshua chapter 10. In verse 11, that we have read there, as they fled, it says, there were more people who died in a hailstorm than by the sword. Can you imagine the situation that was happening that day? It was a very strange hailstorm. When you have a hailstorm, the hailstorm falls on everybody. That's a normal hailstorm. But these are the different hailstorms. According to Roland Barthes, when he met the angels, and he was asking the angels, you know, some of those situations in the Bible, and some of the angels were saying, during this time, in Joshua's time, the angels were instructed to make hailstones and they were throwing it at an enemy. So those are the hailstones we are reading about here. Imagine that the enemy is running from Joshua. Joshua with his sword. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And all the enemy are running, but human being with human being. So if both run same speed, they're still running. But as they're running, the enemy, you know, running away. Joshua catching up with the enemy. Suddenly there comes this big hailstone, boom. By the time they reach the enemy is dead. There were more people who died. And the strange thing is, remember, this is not a steel movie where the enemy remains quietly and then the hailstone keeps coming. No, the enemy is running, so is Joshua. The funny thing is that this hailstone also followed the enemy. Can you imagine the enemy running, you know, hiding in a cave somewhere and waiting? When they came up, boom, this hailstone hits them. You can imagine, angels never miss. Hailstones are not wasted. So the third thing here is that Joshua had a sign. He had a sign that God was fighting on his behalf. You will know you have a sign when there are more people dying than when you're killing in war, that is. There were more of these enemies dying on the hailstone than they were destroying. There was a sign from God. The God himself was wiping them out, not only Joshua. God himself personally doing it. But through his angels. The theology of it we already covered before judgment. But this third reason is important. There was a sign of God's desire. Anger and wiping out of sin in that land. Based on that sign, the third sign, Joshua gained boldness to command. So there are these three reasons before you stop the sun over your life. Number one, perfect will of God. Number two, you're chasing the enemy. Number three, you're the sign from heaven. As you apply this to the Joshua generation in financial prosperity, number one, you have to really make sure you're doing what God tells you to do in the realm of financial prosperity, in the business realm. You have to make sure you're doing exactly what God tells you to do. Sometimes when God tells you to do certain things, you're like the 6 days. You're investing and you're investing and you're investing and you're investing. You're putting all that you know you rightly do in God and receive from God. And you're just investing and investing and investing the right thing. You know it's right. You know that's what God is telling you to do. And you went ahead doing those things. Because you know one day the harvest will come. The same way, when God told me to do certain things, I will go ahead. I mean, forget about every other thing. If God tells you to do something, go ahead. Even if it costs you. Sometimes you may have to spend thousands of dollars to do what God tells you. When God spoke to me and said, alright, you have to do this. Alright, I'll do.
wants me to start doing newsletter every month, I'll do it, Lord, whatever the cost. He wants me to make more books, publish more books, print more books, no problem, God. You have to understand that when you receive an instruction from God, whatever the cost, you go ahead. And you are faithfully doing what God tells you. Doing what God says, 6 days. Standing and standing and standing and standing. Whatever God tells you in the business realm, if God tells you to venture into something that He has revealed to you, you may not see the end yet. First, you're in the second area of Joshua. We're talking about third area, the fourth area here. First, you're Jericho. We are past Jericho. It was long ago. Now we're talking about stopping the sun. And then you begin to see the harvest coming. You're doing God's perfect will, and the harvest is coming. You're beginning to see the victory. All the enemy being wiped out. Every one of your past problems that reared its ugly head before are now being chopped off. You know that you're having victory. You know that you're having good success. But God doesn't need you to have just good success. He wants you to totally overcome. More than a conqueror, He wants us to be. Not just barely get along, not just barely get through, not just survive. But He wants us to overcome gloriously. You're aware that you need more time. The enemy is really running. It's just like you're settling all your debt. One by one, all these things are being settled. One by one, all these areas are being solved. And suddenly the sun is setting. Suddenly there doesn't seem to be enough time. Time is catching up. For some people, the time that is catching up could be their early years. Ask God for more time. And you have a sign of God working on with you. You know that you could never do it or have it because of your own strength. There's more people dying by the hailstones than by the sword that your hand holds. You know that you're reaping not only more than what you have sowed, but above what you have sown, and it looks like you're reaping what you didn't sow. The blessings are overpouring, overflowing. There are more happening by the hailstones than by your sword. Looks like there are so many blessings coming, and so many signs of God working. Then He leaves for you to do number four. Number four is done by Joshua. But Joshua has to know the heart of God and says, "Oh God." And he cries to the Lord. He commands the sun to stop. Commands the moon to stop. And they did. For nearly 24 hours, they had an extra day. The enemy that was running also said, "This is a very strange day." And say, "What's your sundown now?" And say, "Oh, my sundown shows 12 o'clock. And they're running and running. And say, "What's your sundown now?" "Still 12 o'clock. See, there's something funny. What's happening here? The sun has stopped. And the enemy kept running and running." And God held time. Time stood still. You could keep running for another 5 hours and look at the clock, it still says 12 o'clock. First it said 5 o'clock, whatever. But the time that Joshua stopped the sun, that was the time it remained for the next nearly 24 hours. You're wondering, this is a very strange day. Notice the impact. God stopped the sun at the high point of your blessing. At your highest point of blessing. This was one of the greatest battles ever fought. In fact, this was the main battle. And God held it there. It's just like your blessings are pouring down on you. But you know this? That sometimes your blessings fall and suddenly stop. Then your blessings come and then stop. Then come and stop. Come and stop. And then stop, stop, stop. Then come. Then stop, come, stop, come. Then stop and come. But you're all in the decade of the 90s. You're doing God's perfect will. You're chasing the enemy. God has given you a sign that He's working with you. I know when God gives a sign. See, when I obeyed the Lord and started going to Singapore, I knew in my heart I was in God's perfect will. All kinds of people tried to stop. All kinds of rumors. Tell you, we have opposition like we never had before. The first day of our meeting, somebody rang out and said there's a black snake under the platform. There's no black snake. The only black snake was the devil. People came and tried to disrupt the meeting. My coordinator said, no, there's no such thing as a black snake. Just somebody trying to be funny. And all kinds of things. Then we have difficulty in different areas. The lower strata of people where we had to get a permit every month, you know, the lady, dear lady, God bless her, just doing her job. Say, no, cannot. No more. We pray, Lord, show this way and that way. And I knelt down and I told the Lord, say, God, you send me here, you open the door, you don't open the door, no problem, thank you, I got more rest. God, you want me to be here, you open the door. He did. He did. Just the next 2 weeks after that, he said, everything has been approved. No problem. Just come ahead. It was a different authority that started working. See, God sends you, God opens the way. God will supply the place. God will supply the need. God will supply everything. But sometimes you got to stay firm in God. Very firm. And then there are sometimes you see your blessings coming. There have been times, every time I've gone down, I've knelt down in that hotel room, open the curtains and look over the place, and I start lifting up my hands and praying for the nation. And I start taking authority over the principalities over the place. And I say, God, you sent me here. And every time I step foot in this place, every principality is bound. Start taking authority. Start shaking the principalities in the place. And then, as you begin doing that, sometimes you sense. You sense what the Spirit of God is doing. There are the times when you see the blessings opening and pouring. And then it looks like it's going to stop because there's not enough time for you to keep pouring. That's when you need to take authority in God. You have to send the word out. Send the word out. Not a word that anybody can hear, but a word that God can hear. He sent the word out. And the word go forth and seal the circumstances. Seal the circumstances. Let me tell you, we are coming to dangerous times. Very dangerous times. People do not know that this year I'm walking closer with God than I ever been. It's getting to dangerous time. Why dangerous? Because when you begin opposing something that God starts, you oppose God Himself. We're coming to dangerous times. But these are times when God speaks Then we have to hakran. Then we have to take authority, perhaps in your own life. If you have full confidence, but you must develop those 3 points, remember that. You cannot have it when you're living in sin. I know in my heart I have chosen righteousness and holiness. I've died to say I have no interest in the things of this life. You've chosen holiness, you've chosen the righteousness of God. You don't care for all the things of this life. You only want to do God's will, perfect will. And you know you're doing God's perfect will with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. Then you know that you're winning. You know that things are moving for you. My friends, when you're winning, don't take it easy. That's the fault of people. Because Joshua took it easy, they got the problem in Ai, then the Gibeonites. Do you know that the body of Christ fails because in hard times they get discouraged and they stop and they give up? But the body of Christ fails also because in easy times they don't know how to stop the sun. They take it easy. Oh, the enemy is running. No problem, come, let's walk. You know, no problem. Then they're running. No, let this region, let the hailstones get them first. And you know, as they come here, they take it too easy. And times are easy. I don't. We don't. We must not. People think that when things are going well, that's when I don't seek God. No, I seek God more. That's when you seek God more. And that's when you tap on even the greater blessing. I call that the ant blessing. The binomial theorem to the power of ant. Non-stop. That's when not only the blessings come, but what I call it, because of a lack of other words, the super blessings. My friends, what are super blessings? That is not only blessings. That is when you're already having the blessings and you did not forget the Lord. You see, Deuteronomy 28 left a certain part vaguely. It says, when you have all these blessings and you're eaten and you're full, do not forget to worship God. Do not forget God, right? You just left it hanging. Don't forget God. But it didn't tell you what will happen when you didn't forget God when you're full. But Joshua tells us here, when you don't forget God, when you're full and when you're winning, when the blessings are coming, and you still didn't forget God, which in the world, very few people move into the super blessings. They only move into the blessings and stop. No super blessings. Why? Because when they are blessed, they forgot God. They start spending less time. They start being complacent. They become lax. Some of them go back to sin. And then go back to unrighteousness, and they will perpetually go down, repent, touch a blessing, go down a bit, backslide, their love grow cold, touch a blessing again after revival, then come down again, and then there they are lowering in the mud. Revival message come, stir them up. Oh, they go up again, touching the blessing. Then the blessing came, they are quite satisfied, quite happy, things are okay, everything is okay, they got just enough, more than enough, everything is just nice, they became complacent, start dropping again, heart grow cold, prayer life grow less, word life grow new, and one minister can't stir them out again, worship God, oh they got another kick, no, then they start getting the blessing again. My friends, we are not donkeys who need to be kicked once in a while. We are not mules who are so stubborn that we need to be kicked once in a while so that we will walk in the righteous road. No, we are not donkeys, we are sheep. We don't need a hit on our back every now and then to say, come on you mule, come on you mule. We don't need a fire and brimstone evangelist to come every now and then and give us a kick on the back. And say, keep to the righteous path. Poof. Say, yes, sir. No, we don't need that. If that's what we need, and if that's what we function in, we will only taste the blessing. We are not talking about blessing alone. in a Joshua generation. If you're talking about blessings alone, you're not talking about Joshua generation, you're talking about the common generation. Blessings, they are common to every generation. What is so special about Joshua generation then? The super blessing. The super blessing. Where it's blessing, increase and multiply. But I have found there is a rare individual who, when they are blessed, remember God and are untouched by the things of this life. Very rare. But in the Joshua generation, it must not be rare. It must be common for us to have. That God can bless you with $1 billion, $1 million, and you still remain the same. Your love for God not decreased, but it continues increasing. That God can bless your business, you start by taking a Joseph generation, your business expands and expands. Before you're making $10 per day, now you're making $1 million a day. And you say, God, I still remember you. You still go back on your knees to your house, kneel down, lift your hands to God and say, Almighty God, you are still my love and my treasure. All these are nothing compared with you. My friends, when you start keeping that kind of attitude, God looks down from heaven and says, I am well pleased. And the blessings not only pour, is an overlaunch, super blessing. It will not stop, it will increase so greatly, it will be Deuteronomy chapter 28 times to the power of end. You not only at Deuteronomy chapter 28, you have multiplications of it. So powerful. Say, why does God do that? Which you see that in the Joshua generation, we become the prime example and blessing to others. We bless, because we are blessed, we bless others. And it's my goal that the more God blesses me, the more I bless others. Support as many ministries as possible. Send out as many fivefold as possible. Not only for the church capacity, for my personal capacity. Bless to be blessed so that you could bless. You could have millions of people for flowing out from that blessing. To honor God. Let me close this Joshua generation session with these last few things here. The world has enough people living in sin. There's an example. And the world puts on the pedestal the infamous. Those who are living in sin, adultery, perversion, there is a shortage of people who are living perfect, holy lives in God. The average Christian keeps falling into sin. There is a vacancy for Christians who live a full life for God. The exemplary figure for holiness, for righteousness. We need more people to demonstrate Jesus Christ to the world. Many years ago, I determined, say, God, there are so many people living in sin, and there are good examples of people living in sin. But we don't have many. They are like Enoch, who live without sin. without fear of man or demon, without fear of unrighteousness or sin, without fear of criticism or tears or flattery. We need more people. And suddenly it's called to the Joshua generation. We need more people who will take a vow before God, who will give themselves totally, spirit, soul and body, to God, so that their bodies belong to God, their souls belong to God, their spirits belong to God. We need people, and we need more of them, in order to change this world. My friends, all you need is one such person in this world, and that person will turn the world upside down or wrong side up. You need only one. But because we don't want to just turn the world, we want to shake the world, we need more than one. To live a perfect life of dedication and holiness and consecration to God. Not just for a moment. I know Christians who can do it just for a moment. And then after that, they leave it. They cannot stay on year in, year out, year in, year out, year in, year out. They will only live in holiness for a few months, backslide, then come back again. They understand that complacent, then get back to God. We need those who will be consistent 365 and a quarter days a year. Every year until Jesus comes, there's a vacancy for them. There's a big vacancy for them. Those who say no to the things of this life and who choose the narrow path that Jesus has chosen to live in their area. Every head bow and every eye closed. Right now, as we come to see the Joshua generation, right where you are, I tell you, there's a cry in my heart and in the heart of God. Because we lack people who would choose holiness. There are too many who are choosing sin. The devil is having too many followers who choose sin. And they get splashed in the headlines. They get splashed in the headlines of all the magazines in the world. We need people who will choose holiness and who will be able to do the same thing and shape the world, so that the world will marvel and say, there's none like this saying. There's the Spirit of God is here right now. You know that God is dwelling in your heart and life. I want to recruit more into that. I want you to stand right where you are. If that's the life you have chosen in God, you want to be those examples, and you know you're prepared to give your all to Jesus. You know you're prepared to die for Jesus. You know you're prepared for anything for Jesus. We need more to give them life in God. Father God, you see these lives that are before us. I want you to know how greatly God loves each one of you. If only you could hear the cry of the Father heart of God. Because there are so many in this world who are living in sin and they are propagating darkness. There's a cry for those who will live in holiness, who will choose holiness, who will choose righteousness and delight in it. There's a cry for those who want to be among the virgins in God, spiritual virgins in God. I want you to know that that's the cry of our Father God. And God needs more holiness. God needs more surrender in the hearts and minds of the life of His people. I'm not just asking for a surrender, just for one portion of your life, but all. All areas. Spirit, soul and body. But you utterly say no to the things of the world and no to the sins of this life and attractions of this life. Father, we pray for these who are here, O God, as they stand before you, to be among those who walk like Enoch walked, undefiled in a world of sin, pure and holy and sinless, in a world that is full of compromise and sin. Father, we pray for these who choose this kind of life. We know it's not an easy life, O God. It's not a life that will please everybody. It's not a life that will necessarily be honored even in this world. But O God, we pray. And right now you deposit a seal on their lives. Ask, O Almighty God, that you will lay your hands on these who are standing now. Place your hands over their lives right now. Only you know their hearts and their minds and their souls. Only you know what is going on inside. We cannot hide from you. We pray, O God, that you would, through your Spirit, lay your hands on each one here, right? That some of them may have to go to places alone, to face nations, tribes, and people alone, where they may be the only one who live a holy life, but yet they will still remain holy. Oh God, lay your hands on these now, Lord. I ask, O God, that you put your fire in their lives. Put your fire in their lives, O God, right now. Seal the seal of God upon their forehead. Right now, O Father God. Right now, O Father God. Spirit of God is just filling each one of you right now. His fire is coming upon your life right now. His presence is surrounding you right now. You feel the arms of God around you and over you. Because this is a generation we live in, and He is causing a new breed of people. It's a different breed from before. It's a different sense of men and women of God. Not like what we had before in the past generation. There's a new breed that God is calling. They'll be so holy that the world will wonder at their holiness. They'll be so consecrated the world will marvel and be amazed at the consecration. They will be different. So different that the world will know that these are not men and women of the world. These are not ordinary people. These are the redeemed vessels of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father God, let your special Spirit of grace, let your special Spirit, O God, impute and impart into these your being right now. In the name of Jesus, 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 feel it, Lord. Feel it, oh God. Feel it, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let the rest of us all stand in the presence of God. Here we are. In your presence. heaven is you. Jesus, a clap offering. God bless you.